Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast for Connecting Faith. You can hear the show each Monday through Thursday at noon Central. And remember, there are even more shows available on our website, myfaithradio.com.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
How good is what we've got today? We'll talk about, not only something good, but about maybe seeing the good in others in some fresh new eyes. Looking forward to today's discussion. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ryan Thomas there at the controls and Grace Rife over at the phones. And Ryan, I don't think we need to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, do we?
No, okay. I'm excited about it. I just want you to know that, though.
All right.
Just so you know.
I'm a sports fan, but this, you know, doesn't interest me.
All right.
Really, so. But if you want to talk football and playoffs, then I wonder if our guest wants to.
Sam Crabtree, they don't have instant replay on radio, do they?
No, because you're thinking we should rewind the tape and start over. Okay, let's start fresh then. Sam Crabtree is our guest back in the studio today. We really appreciate Sam. He's a good friend of ours in the ministry. He's executive pastor, executive minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church at their three campuses in Minneapolis, Moundsview, and Lakeville. And Sam's a former public school teacher and has been in ministry for a number of years. And we were just talking before the program about his children and six grandchildren. So we're just kind of comparing notes, and it was fun. So,
it was fun.
Other than just talking about grandkids, which could be a great hour, I think. But we are going to talk about a book that you wrote here a couple of years ago called Practicing Affirmation. And we've talked about it in the past and thought, you know, the first of the year is a great time to just look at some of the attitudes and behaviors that we have. And it seemed like this would be one where we want to, let's focus on that a little bit and say, how do we practice and develop a life of affirmation? So anyway, welcome back to the studios.
Thanks, Neil. Glad to be here.
We want to find out a little bit about the discussion about affirmation. By the way, if you have a question or like to maybe a comment or just to join in the broadcast, you are welcome to call us here at any point in the program. It's 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH.
So, and is Grace the one that'll pick up the phone?
Grace,
they call?
Yes. And so you may want to just call and talk to Grace.
Because she's very helpful, very pleasant.
Yes.
Even if you don't want to ask your question, you might just want to chat with Grace.
Yeah, that's, in fact, you know, truth be told, most of our callers do just that. They don't even say, I don't really want to go on the air and talk to Neil, but Grace, let's just talk. So, I mean, I see the, you know, the screen that's coming on here, all the, like, wow, Grace is getting another call. Have her do the show, I suppose, maybe, but anyway. So, Sam, I am interested to know if the practice of affirmation comes naturally to you, or was there a point in your life where you became intentional about affirmation? And we should probably define what that means.
Yeah, and that's probably a good question because there are no doubt listeners who think, folks who are just naturally good at this are going to gravitate toward it, and those who are not good at it are just going to bang their heads against the wall. So why even bother? Why try? And so my answer to your question, was I, you know, born this way or wired this way or not, is a mixed answer, yes and no. The yes part would accord with some of the programming you've had on this program about languages of love. And some people they express their love different ways. Some people give gifts and some people just hang out. They give the gift of their presence. And some people serve. They just want to take up people's chores on their behalf because that seems like love. And other people, words of affirmation are very important to them. And I think I am wired that way. So that's the yes part of the answer. I think I'm maybe more bent that direction. But the no part of the answer is my sinful flesh, and I was born a son of Adam just like everybody else, is critical and demanding and get out of my way. And I was raised in a family of seven children. And though I have no regrets about that family size and think there were real advantages for me in growing up in a larger than average family, did we have spats and elbowing and, you know, Dad, he's over the line in the back seat here. And my younger brother ate my bacon one day, literally, and I was so infuriated that the urge to kill is in me. So I'm not all niceness and all, you know, strawberry shortcake and all that. I have the same tendency towards pet peeves that everybody else does, and I can be irritated and frustrated and angered and outraged. And I say that not justifying outrage the way our culture does. Our culture says if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I think if you are outraged, you're not paying attention. You should be full of thanksgiving. There's only one being in existence that should be outraged. There's only one perfectly righteous being. But so that's a too long of an answer to your question. Am I wired this way? I have a sinful nature, and I have a personality that I think God has given that has lent itself towards something like writing a book on a subject like this.
Do you think are we all have the wiring for affirmation? Or should, I mean, I guess maybe put it as we become followers of Christ, that there should be by God's Spirit, there should be a natural kind of growth in this area.
You ask good questions, thoughtful questions. We should let the listeners know this is not rehearsed.
Okay, yes.
So I didn't know
that's going to be real evidence.
This was
I'm sure,
coming.
As we go along.
Yeah, yeah. So say the question again.
Yes, sorry. Well, now that's going to be a problem.
I'm affirming your.
No, should as we become Christ followers, should there be kind of a natural wiring for us or a supernatural wiring?
Yeah. Again, I'll give a mixed answer, a yes and a no answer. I think that there are spiritual gifts that God gives to every believer that enable that believer to excel above other believers, or he finds it more natural. He has a gravitational pull towards a certain gift that others may not have. The gift of giving, or the gift of administration, or the gift of mercy. Some people are just so wild. My mother had the gift of mercy, so that she just cared about every stranger on the sidewalk, that they be okay, and are they being taken care of, and they be included, and you don't hurt people's feelings. And she just lived with that on her radar screen all the time. That was in her windshield all the time. However, even though there are different gifts that vary from person to person, I think we're commanded to do all of them. We're all commanded to be merciful. We're all commanded to live an orderly life. We're commanded to be generous. We're supposed to teach, even if you have the gift of teaching or not. And so there's a yes and a no. I think there are some people who are naturally and supernaturally more inclined to be a certain way, and that's a gift to the rest of us. They're in the front on those kinds of things. There are some prophetic types who just see right is right, wrong is wrong, don't be messing around here, and we need them. And we also need the merciful people to say, now, that bombastic prophet over there who just scolded the daylights out of you, he did that for your welfare, you know. He loves you. God cares for you through that prophet. So we need the mercy types. We need the prophet. We need all the whole continuum, all these spiritual gifts and people that have these bents. But we're all supposed to grow in them. So none of us are excused from working at them. So as it relates to this topic today of practicing affirmation, some people are just better at it than others. But we're all to grow in it. And what I argue is that there are good reasons to want to grow in it. It shouldn't feel like a burdensome stoic duty that, I got to practice my affirmations today. But that if I do this, I'm planting seeds for future crops that I want to harvest in my life. So let's get out there and do a little farming as it relates to planting these affirmations in the lives of other people.
Trying to think of that quote of Mark Twain's. I think I could go a couple of months on a good compliment or something to that effect.
Precisely.
I'm thinking we should talk about the difference between compliments and affirmation, because they're not necessarily the same.
That's true. In the same way that blessings are not necessarily the same as affirmation, in this sense that if I run into you pull off the exit ramp on the interstate down at Washington Avenue off of Highway 35 there, and there's a panhandler, and you give him some money, that money may be a blessing to him. Now he could abuse it, I suppose, and use that money for bad purposes or good. We don't know, but I'm giving benefit of the doubt here in this in this illustration. You give him the money. That's a blessing. And nevertheless, you have not affirmed his character or her character as a person. You don't even know him. You don't know if he's a good person, bad person, faithful to his family, unfaithful to his family, is a good citizen or a criminal. Don't know. Just gave the guy, the gal, a blessing. And compliments can be the same way. I could compliment somebody on their, you know, you look sharp today, Neil. That's nice. I don't know. What is that, a sweater that you've got on there? And we
need sweaters. I'm sorry to say that I've been living in this sweater for the last week. So it's probably, if you got closer, you'd probably feel differently about it.
Okay, maybe I would.
Okay.
Which gets right back at what I'm saying here is that you might be wearing that sweater because somebody made you wear it. Maybe your mommy dresses you or whatever the case may be. And I compliment the sweater. It may or may not be an affirmation of your ability to choose clothing or to dress wisely or to serve the people around you by wearing clean sweaters instead of the same sweater for 3 weeks that, you know, is carrying your signature with it wherever it goes. And so, yes, there's a difference between complimenting, which is not bad. It's good. We should compliment, and affirming. And sometimes the circle of compliments and the circle of affirmations overlap so that an affirmation is a compliment and vice versa. It's the same with encouragement. You can give encouragement that isn't an affirmation. You know, go team, get out there, you'll win this game. Oh, you know, that's, you're trying to be encouraging. Doesn't say anything about the competence of the players, whether they're good blockers and good tacklers and good whatever passers, whatever they need to be out there. But to say to a player during the timeout, I've seen you make this next play 100 times. I've seen you make this pass. You're good at making this pass. Just focus, concentrate. You can make this pass again, I believe. You know, that's affirming what you've seen in the past. And all affirmations deal with the past, all of them. And encouragements can be seeded with hope for the future, an unknown future that may or may not come into being. I mean, he might make that pass and he might not make that pass. He might get sacked, who knows? But the affirmation about you've seen him do it well 100 times in the past, that affirmation, that stands. And all affirmations, since they're predicated on performances that have already happened, stand.
Good word. All affirmations deal with the past. We're going to deal with affirmations today and talk more about it, about affirming others and, you know, do we need to know them to affirm them? Kind of what's at the heart of affirmation. We'll talk honesty, maybe some of the dangers of not affirming, all that. By the way, if you want to join the conversation, 87, or if you'd just like to talk to Grace, it's 877-933-2484. Pastor Sam Crabtree is executive minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church, 3 campuses in Minneapolis, and he's written the book called Practicing Affirmation. It came out from Crossway a couple of years ago, and we're starting out the new year with some thoughts about how we can develop this important, strategic, life-affirming habit. 877-933-2484, more and more.
Hi, this is Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. It's the start of a new year, and I hope one of the New Year's resolutions that you've made this year is to support Faith Radio. Your prayerful, generous support is changing lives across the Upper Midwest. You can give simply and safely online at myfaithradio.com or call 877-933-2484 to make your gift today. I like you.
No, I like you.
No, I really like you.
I liked you first.
As you can see at Faith Radio, we really like our friends on Facebook.
And we hope to connect with you there soon.
Find us when you search My Faith Radio on Facebook.
Or just browse to Facebook.com/MyFaithRadio.
It's connecting faith to your everyday life
right in your Facebook newsfeed.
We look forward to your like.
My Faith Radio on Facebook.
Book today, Practicing Affirmation. One of the insights on the back of the book from a guest author said, too many of us use most of our words each day for criticizing and complaining. You find that your communication lacks encouragement. You want to grow in affirming others. If you plan to say any words at all today, read the book. And we think that's a good piece of advice, because all of us use words, and oftentimes they can be hurtful, and we want to turn that around to affirm. But it doesn't happen, I guess, without some practice, which is why the book is such a valuable resource. And Sam Crabtree, executive minister of Bethlehem Baptist Church, is here to talk with us about it. The subtitle is about, not only practicing affirmation, but it's God-centered praise for those who are not God. And we should probably just talk a little bit about that, too, that this is acknowledging what godly character in someone, right? That's really the heart of this.
Yeah, I could ask, what is God himself most impressed with? You pause there, you give a moment for thought. What is he most impressed with? He's most impressed with himself. And it stands to reason, because he's the most impressive thing in all of existence. The superlatives all either describe him or come from him. So he's impressed with himself, especially in his son, whom he calls beloved. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So he's impressed with his son, and we ought to be impressed with his son also. And his son is imaged forth in every human being. We're all made in his image. So God is impressed with that, and we ought to be on the lookout for it and be impressed with it as well, and point it out, call it out when we see it. In the lobby, when I was waiting to come in here to the studio, you have a beautifully framed Bible verse out there with some painting or something that goes with it, from Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, God is to be praised. That's what we're supposed to do everywhere, from rising the sun, setting of the sun. And somewhere between the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun is where everybody you know lives. You live there, I live there, your grandchildren, whose photo you showed me earlier, they all live between the rising of the sun, setting of the sun. And God's to be praised there. So we should be on the lookout in people for things that we can commend. We should commend the commendable, which is the character of Christ that we see in them. We should be affirming the things that are most affirmation worthy. This is a very popular verse in a lot of churches and a lot of individual lives. It's from Philippians 4:8. Whatever is praiseworthy, that's in the list of eight things, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. And so we should be praising things that are praiseworthy. Or the writer of Proverbs said, what is a good wife for? A good wife who fears God is to be praised. That's what she's for. You should look at that wife and go, God is good. God is in that praiseworthy wife. And so we don't waste our time, we don't waste our lives, we don't waste God's grace by finding where he's dispensed it, which is all over the place. And I argue in the book, he's put his image in believers and in unbelievers. Now, there's more voluntary, willing, enthusiastic cooperation with God in believers, of course, stands to reason. But even in unbelievers, the image of God is not totally eradicated there. And so it's possible to say in young children who don't yet believe, or neighbors, you know, when you share your toy with your brother, that's a godly thing. That's a Christian thing. That's a good thing. Good for you for sharing your toy with your brother. Or some philanthropist who gives to help the community in some way, to thank him for his generosity because it's a godlike thing. He doesn't even have to know that God's at work in him. He might even object to the idea that God is at work in him. But according to the scriptures, God is at work. And we should point that out to God's honor and to the benefit of the whole environment, of all the relationships that we're in. Plus, we have the satisfaction of being a person who's not a grouch, walks around barking about everything, but we actually point out good stuff.
Yeah. And is that language a key part of the affirmation to acknowledge a godlike characteristic? That, I mean, we're saying those words.
Well, I don't want to make a new law. I don't want to make a new legalism out of you know, affirmations have to be formulaic. And you, if you don't follow the cookie recipe, then it doesn't count. That didn't count as affirmation. I mean, we should just be overflowing from our hearts with things that we appreciate because they are appreciation worthy. But I would say that it's more honoring to God if we attach God to the quality that we're seeing explicitly. So, for example, whether you and I give God glory for those skies that are out there today, he's still going to get glory. But he gets a particular kind of glory if we say, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. That's God who put those skies out there, that atmosphere that protects us from meteorites that are crashing into Russia and whatever else is in the news. And if we have God's grace manifest in the people that are all around us and we never comment on it, he doesn't get the kind of honor that he could get if we stop and say, that's God at work in you right there. I see it. That's a little microcosm of God's massive, worldwide, universe-wide work. Right there, I saw it in you. There's a glimmer of God right there in you. And I just want to call it out and enjoy that for a moment.
Thank you. We're talking a little bit about grandchildren, how, and spouses, how important it is that our words be used to affirm and to build up, and what a difference that can make. I mean, have you been able to do that? I know that you write cards to your wife regularly, right? You're still doing that?
I forgot we must have mentioned that in a previous conversation.
It feels pressure every time I think about that. But anyway.
Yeah, well, what one guy does, not everybody else has to do. But yes, I've written a daily note to my wife for 33 years, and she's got them all in boxes. It's a 3x5 card and on two sides. And I think words matter. Here's a principle. Maybe if a person who tuned into this program only got one thing, this might be one of the one things they want to get, namely, people tend to be influenced by those who praise them. People tend to be influenced by those who praise them, which just exposes to me the irony that so many athletic coaches bark at their players rather than commend them for a good job. But John Calvin put it in one of his commentaries. I forget which letter. I think it was Philippians. He wrote in there, people tend to be shaped by those who speak well of them behind their backs. I think Richard Baxter, the Puritan writer, wrote something very similar. If you let me dig through my notes, I could probably find it verbatim. And it's just when you commend someone, use words to affirm something that they have done, they notice what you're noticing. Oh, you notice character qualities. Matters to you more than and I don't mean to put these things down, but more than my earrings or more than my new tennis shoes or things that could be skin deep. If you commend the quality of Jesus, oh, the qualities of Jesus are something to be noticed. And so those things get highlighted. Those things are elevated in your relationship. Your relationship with the person you're commending is benefited because people would much rather be affirmed than criticized. And so there's lubrication. I think it was Senator Dirksen years ago who said the oil can is mightier than the sword. And he was talking about politics, that say good things wherever you can rather than taking jabs at people. Or jabs. Speaking of jabs, I mean, the Proverbs teach us that there are words that are like a sword thrust. A sword thrust. A sword thrust takes only just a second. Just wham. And now a person is wounded, they're cut, they're bleeding, and it may take a long time to heal, and it may leave a scar. Words can be like that. Well, why do you want to use words like that when you could use words that are positive and affirming and build people up? I hear the music fading in.
That's right. We're going to continue the conversation in a moment. By the way, I neglected to mention, we do have four copies of the book to give away. So if you'd like to call and register just to be... receive this great little resource, and it truly could change your life and the life of those around you. I'd commend it to you. 877-933-2484. Pastor Sam Crabtree from Bethlehem Baptist Church is in studio today. We're talking about practicing affirmation. Love to talk with you. 877-933-2484. Or you can always drop us a note online. It's myfaithradio.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith show page to leave us an email. We'll continue in just a moment. Stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in today to Connecting Faith. Yeah, we're early on in the new year and taking some time to think about ways that we can maybe develop some new habits for the new year. And not just talking about maybe what we eat or how we stay fit, but it's about how we interact with others in relationship. And one of the most valuable ways is that we affirm the godly character in others. And we're talking about that and using as our reference the book Practicing Affirmation. And that book is written by our guest today, Sam Crabtree, who's executive minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis. They have three campuses, Minneapolis, Mounds View, Lakeville. And he's a former public school teacher, has been at Bethlehem since 1997. Wife married since, so we were at about 40 years, right?
40 years.
40 years, yeah. And children and grandchildren, and we just always enjoy getting together and talking with Sam about practicing affirmation. One of our callers, Charlene, says, is there a correlation with the command to bless our enemies? Let's talk about that.
Thank you, Charlene, for raising that. Yes, I think there is a correlation. I don't think that we're restricted from commending any human being, because all human beings are made in the image of God. And even our enemies, there's something in them that can be commended. You and I were talking before we went on the air, Neil, about a story that I'd forgotten, but I mentioned in the book, about I was at a pro-life march at the Capitol in St. Paul. And as we were marching around, there were protesters of the march. And I walked past a pair of gentlemen with a large placard with a coat hanger and a circle and a slash through it, and the message that was meant to convey visually. And I walked past and made another loop around the grounds. And as I came back, I just felt like I should visit with these two guys. So I paused, and first I just asked, may I have your permission to, may I ask you some questions about your placard, rather than just jumping in or making assertions or accusations, or just may I have your permission? And I find that very helpful in a lot of conversations that may be either insecure or potentially full of friction. So say, may I ask you a question, or may I ask you a personal question? And if they shrink back, well, then that's the end of the conversation. And okay, but may I ask you a question? And the one gentleman never said anything, but the other one said, well, what? I said, well, I just wonder if I'm understanding your placard right, because it was, and I mean this seriously, it was very beautifully done. If an ugly message can be beautifully done, it was the graphics were just nicely done. The arrangement on the placard, the spacing, the composition, the colors, it was a very effective placard in that sense. And so I'm noticing your placard, and I just want to make sure that I understand what it means. And I take it to mean that you're opposed to injuring women. Well, yeah, that'd be right. I said, well, you and I have that in common. We both are opposed to injuring women. And the conversation went on from there. I mean, should I continue this story? You want to go a little farther?
Yeah,
okay,
fine.
I'll go a little
sure.
farther. I said, do you have any statistics, you or your partner here, or can you point me in a direction where I could find some statistics on how many women have been injured by coat hanger abortions? And he got a furrowed look on his brow and looked down and kind of hemmed and hawed and said, no, I really don't have any numbers, any statistics for you. You maybe could get some at the library or somewhere like that. I said, okay, all right. Do you have any statistics on how many women have been injured by lawful, legalized abortions? No, he didn't have any numbers about that either. And so I said, well, what do you say to the person who who has some numbers that indicate that far, far more women have been injured through legal abortion than through coat hanger abortions. And he was stymied. Now, the reason we got that far in that conversation, I believe, is because I started out affirming his graphics on his placard and being civil and treating him as an intelligent human being. May I ask you a question? I didn't just crash into his space or like one other guy who walked by and say, get out of here. This is our march. You know, it's not okay. I don't just want to win arguments. I want to win relationships. I want to win friends on the way to winning arguments, I hope. And so I do believe that affirmation of, and I'm going to use Charlene's term here, enemies, because we're on opposite sides of a political issue there. I think there is a place to commend what's commendable, and you don't have to give away the whole farm to do that. I mean, by commending one thing doesn't mean you commend everything. That's a false conclusion from that. So I can say, you know, Hitler was a creative inventor. I mean, with the interstate system and the Volkswagen and the things that he invented, he was a creative man. He was a very wicked creative man. I'm not taking away the wicked part, but I could say, some of the things he invented, those are pretty good inventions. We still use them today. So that's what I would maybe say to a Charlene. Yes, bless even your enemies where you can.
And again, it's about where God's character is revealed and that he gets the glory.
Yeah, and you have to be honest about it. I mean, you can't just go around schmoozing and saying false things.
Well, speaking of honest, Joanne, we'll get to your call in just a minute, but talk about honesty, because obviously honesty is needed in affirmation. There does seem to be that side, though, of adding sort of a but. You know, great talk today, but...
Yeah, and when it's inescapable, I would say go ahead and pair an affirmation with a concern or a criticism or a correction if it's inescapable. But if you can escape it, I would say let your affirmations stand alone. Be sprinkling them everywhere. Just be throwing affirmations all over the place, and you don't have to come along and nuance all of your affirmations with the but. And in the book, I write about a businessman who used to affirm his workers, follow up with a correction, and then follow up with another affirmation. And it was his pattern. The only time they got affirmed was when he was going to lower the boom about this or that or the other thing. And so it became a reputation. He became known for what he prided himself in, the sandwich method. And his workers called it the bologna sandwich, because they just thought he's only paving the way to lower the boom. And so I would be careful about pairing affirmations with criticisms. And absolutely, you're right, Neil, that affirmations have to be honest. They have to be true. For one thing, if you are disingenuous about them, you will become known as not true. I mean, Jesus said about Nathanael, here's a man in whom there is no guile. What a high compliment. I would love to have Jesus say that about me. Here, this man is not a hypocrite. He shoots straight. What you see is what you get. This man's handshake is as good as a contract, that kind of thing. So we should say what's true, and exaggeration will get us in trouble. I have a very good friend, very esteemed colleague, who is very concerned that we not praise things too lightly. Faint praise can be damning. Well, that's true. If you underpraise someone, it can seem like you really don't. Your heart's really not in what you're saying. But exaggerated praise is by definition a lie, because it's excessive, it's beyond what's true, and so you don't want to pile on. You want to tell what's true. So a wife shouldn't say to her husband, "I just think you're the smartest man in the whole world," unless you think he is. I mean, if you think he is, you should tell him that. He would be happy to think that you think that about him. He would know that's not right, but he would, because if he's the smartest man in the world, he'll already know.
Sure.
But if you think he really is very competent when it comes to following an argument and thinking through things and so on, that's different than saying he's the smartest man in the whole world. If you say he's the smartest man in the whole world, he'll smell a rat. So, okay, what are you up to? What do you want for Christmas, or what's the deal here? There's an under there's an under agenda going on here. So, right now, when I say that I really appreciate the consistent cheerfulness of your sidekick here, would you call him an engineer? Is that an engineer?
Sure.
Ryan's an engineer?
Yes. He is. He's amazing.
I don't know if he has stopped smiling the whole hour that we've been in here. Maybe he's still thinking about the sweater comment earlier.
It unnerves me most days, but no.
And the reason I'm serious about that is cheerfulness is such a lubricant to any environment. It's just be of good cheer is a biblical command. And it's a ministry to be cheerful to people. And so here he sits over here. I mean, if I glance over, I'm not looking at him right now, but if I look over there, I know, yes. I can see his teeth. He's grinning. That is so helpful to any conversation, unless, of course, I mean, there are mocking smiles. And I'm not, talking about that. Your listeners can discern that. So tell the truth and then look for good truths to tell.
Good word. Let's take a call from Joanne. She's listening in Faith 1200 in the Red River Valley. Joanne, you're on with Sam Crabtree. Go ahead.
Great. I am pleased to bring this comment. I am a parent, a grandparent, and a teacher, and I have learned over the years that all of my positive reinforcement to students and children works so much further than the critique or criticism or discipline that I often see and want to say and want to correct. And it takes me, I have to really think about this, how to find the student that's doing the right thing rather than the student that's misbehaving.
Good word, Joanne. Thanks for your call.
It is. Thank you for pointing that out. I had a woman from Wisconsin call, mother of 10 children, and she said, I've read your book, and your book is not a parenting book, and it isn't. But she says, that book has been more helpful to my parenting than any of the parenting books that I've read. Now, this is a very dangerous thing for me to say because it sounds like I'm promoting the book, promoting a product. You know, please, you know, send in your check today, blah, 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 blah. And it's very dangerous, and I'm leery of that self-promotion. But the principle of affirming that Joanne just called in to affirm is powerful. It's what I said earlier. People tend to be influenced by those who praise them. God has wired into human personalities and even into a lot of animals a reward system that works. Pavlov discovered if you pair the bell with the presentation of the dog food, you get salivation so that eventually you take away the dog food. They still salivate at the bell. It's just that reward still stimulates. And why would we not want to take advantage of that? Or the flip side is if you don't commend, relationships can fray and come apart and become negative and become closed down. And why would you want to do that? It's just what I am saying here is that this principle is at work in all relationships everywhere. Every human relationship, marriages, parenting, grandparenting, school teachers, pastors, supervisors, employees, your relationship with God, because he inhabits the praises of his people. This is at work everywhere, and it's non-optional. You can decide not to do it, but you can't escape the consequences of not doing it. It's like it's optional whether I plug my refrigerator in or not. Okay, that's optional. But what happens to the contents is not optional from that. Or it's optional whether you weed your garden or not. Yeah, that's optional. But it's not optional what you're going to get if you don't weed your garden. And same with affirming. I'm just not into affirming. I'm not going to do it. Okay, you're going to get consequences of callous and drifting that will come into relationships and hardness and suspicion. And you don't want that. Why settle for it? So let's ask God for the grace to be alert and vigilant to point out things that are good.
Good words, and there's more to come here with Sam Crabtree, executive pastor at the Bethlehem Baptist Church in the Twin Cities, and he's author of the book Practicing Affirmation. And we've got some copies, actually, we'll give away here at the end of the show, four copies available today. So if you'd like to call in and add to the program, you're certainly welcome to do that. Or if you'd just like to call in and talk to Grace, we've already established that's the most fun part of the program, and she'd be happy to chat with you. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, and we can try and describe Ryan's smile to you just so you get the idea of what a cheerful place this really is. You're listening to Connecting Faith, 877-933-2484. More in a moment.
As parents, you always want to know what or who is influencing your children. While most of us have a good handle on this in the real world, did you ever think about who could be influencing your child online? Zabra is a new way for you to protect and monitor your kids' influences while on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Zabra works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to alert you to potentially harmful conversations on social media. Zabra gives you peace of mind. For more information, visit Zabra.com. That's Zabra.com to get started today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson from Intentional Living. Growing in faith works best when you're intentional. And Faith Radio can help. Their relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching can help you connect faith to life every day. And Faith Radio needs your support right now. It's one thing you can do today that will keep you and Faith Radio moving forward. Call 877-93-FAITH or go online to myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
This is Connecting Faith, 47 past the hour. Sam Crabtree in studio today. Sam's executive minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church. There are multiple campuses in the Twin Cities area, and he's been there since 97, and 40 years of marriage, and affirming his wife and children and grandkids. We're talking about his great book called Practicing Affirmation. It's just a short little book. I mean, it's 150 pages or so, 160, but it could truly revolutionize your life, as we've been talking about, the danger of not affirming and not commending godly character in others. That's going to affect and damage relationships. So one of the things that, Sam, I want to follow up on, because Joanne talked about being a teacher, and she said, you know, with their students, she knows that it makes a difference if she's affirming, but she has to think about it. And I would say probably if we're not in the habit of it, I mean, most of us probably have to admit that we have to think about it, you know. Maybe living in the upper Midwest, we get used to being cold and cranky.
Well, we alluded earlier to Philippians 4:8 that says, whatever is praiseworthy, think about things that are praiseworthy. So it does help. I mean, there are aspects to marriage and parenting that come more naturally to some people than others. But even people for whom marriage or parenting comes more naturally, it helps them to read a book about it once in a while, or think about it once in a while, or go to a marriage retreat once in a while, or to be intentional about it. I can say, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say this. Again, I'm so leery of self-promotion, but there is an association of counselors, mainly on the West Coast, Christian counselors, called the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. Every year they have a convention, and these professional counselors come, and they focus on a subject. Their subject for this year is practicing affirmation. They're going to use the book. They've asked me to come out and give 4 sessions on it. And the point is, to your question, is it important to think about? Well, they think it's important enough to think about. They're going to give a whole convention to the topic and think about it, because they, back in their local settings, they deal with enough frayed, damaged, broken, wounded relationships where affirmation is so hampered or hamstrung. In fact, I will say this. In my 3 decades plus of pastoral ministry, I have yet to meet a failed marriage, that is a marriage that ended in divorce, that got there while they maintained a healthy diet of affirmation. In every single case, affirmation went away. And it not only was an evidence of a problem, it contributed to the problem. And so, yes, let us conscientiously. Okay, there's a chapter in the book for people who feel stuck, feel like they're not good at it. What do I? Okay, I want to do it. You've convinced me I should do it. What do I do? I don't know what to say or something. So I've listed 100 suggestions in there. And one man contacted me and said, what I did is I photocopied your 100 ideas and I cut them into strips. And I taped them all around the perimeter of my shaving mirror. And every day I look for one and say, I'm going to do that one today. So he's thinking proactively, consciously. He's strategizing. How can I make sure that this doesn't languish or just get dusty in my behavior repertoire? And so you can decide. This is good news for men. Men who can be kind of compartmentalized and project oriented can make a project out of this. Say, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to affirm. I'm going to plan it, and I'm going to pick somebody, and I'm going to look for something, and now I'm going to get about it. And I can check it off as something that I've done today when I've done it. So yeah, I think thinking consciously helps.
And is that too sort of insincere to do it? Say, well, it's just a task.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's.
Good question. I think you're representing the tender consciences that are out there that don't want to be hypocritical in doing this, and because Jesus did warn us. I mean, these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Well, what I would say is don't stop praising him with your lips, but get your heart in shape. So if there's a good, if helping little old ladies across the street is a good thing to do, but you don't feel like it and you don't really love the little old lady, I think decide you're going to help the little old lady across the street and pray that God would help you. By the time you get across the street, you really do care about that little old lady. And he does a heart transforming thing in you. So that's what I would say about, is this going to seem phony? It'll only seem phony if the things you say aren't true. But if the things you say are true, are commendable, they really are good things, then whether you say them because you're all overflowing with bubbly effervescence or you just psych yourself up to say, I need to say this good thing to you, and then you say it, that's the right thing. And then work on motive.
Are there some things that, get to another call in a minute too, but Jane wanted to know what prevents a Christian from being able to affirm? I just think we've sort of talked about preventatives, but I suppose just selfishness, right, ultimately?
Good question, Jane. And there's a platter full of reasons. They're not excuses, but they are reasons. Some people don't affirm very well because they're just busy. They're just really busy. This is true in lots of relationships. They're just preoccupied. They got a lot to do. There's a lot on their mind, and they just don't, as you said, think about it. That's one reason. Some people don't do it because they weren't raised that way. Some people don't do it because they're so fearful, and there's, I'm giving some legitimacy to this. They're so afraid that they will tempt the other person's pride. And if I commend my children, I will just make them become gluttons for more praise, and I'll make them egotistical little brats and stuff. Well, that's a legitimate concern. But the way to do that isn't to stop commending them, but to commend them to the glory of God. If I say to a little child, God is helping you learn to share your toy with your brother, well, the little child who's sharing with his brother can feel very good about that, but God gets the credit. He's working in that child to make it that way. So there can be people who weren't raised around it. There can be people who are just stymied. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to say about this person that's commendable. That can be another reason. There can be the residue of old wounds with that person. They hurt me, and I don't think that they know yet quite how much they hurt me, and I just want them to squirm a little longer before I say good things to them. And that's, of course, that's a motive that needs to get fixed in us. So I think we probably could brainstorm a dozen or more, maybe 100 reasons why people don't do it. And what I'm saying is don't focus on those. Focus on the benefits and get after it.
Don't put those up around the mirror. That's 100 reasons.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Right.
let's squeeze in a call from Alan, listening in on Faith 1270. Alan, go ahead. You're on with Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to affirm you for your great influence that you were on my son. My son is Tim. You met him in Brookings at Southwest State University. And I had the privilege of being in your home. You probably don't remember me by any means. But I just want to affirm you in the fact that this is the topic that we don't hear enough of, and yet it should be the kind of the character that all Christians have. I'm a half-time teacher right now, and I decided this year that the anti-bullying stuff that comes around to the schools these years are things that I didn't think was quite right, so I decided to chose a word a day to put on the board for the kids to think about. And most of them are centered around this, encouraging each other. It is so difficult for kids especially to look for good things in people. We're so quick to find the negatives. And so I have encouraged my kids every day with a new word, and I've had them come up with words for me, and it's incredible. They actually come up with some really, really good words to help other students think about positive things about people instead of so quickly going to the negative things.
That's a great idea. Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah. You might be intrigued to know, Alan, and maybe offline we should get reconnected, reacquainted. But I was in touch with a woman from Chicago who every day on her cell phone took a photograph every day for a year of something that she was thankful for. And so visually she was able to commend God for having given her this thing that she took a picture of. Picture a day. You have word a day. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And we'll we'll put you back on hold, Alan. We can maybe chat here after the show. Got just a minute or so left. Some final words, maybe a step one or what you would like to leave us with. A benediction. You want to just talk about Ryan's smile.
My.
I mean that would cover a couple of minutes right there.
Well, what pops into my mind is that the way to get good at, and I'm still working at it, get good at commending the character of Christ, is be on the lookout for the character of Christ in the Bible. We have an incomparable elder brother. He's matchless. His name is preeminent. His name is above all other names. He is superior in every way. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in him, for example. So focus on him, absorb him. As he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, eat and drink Jesus all day long. Get really acquainted with him. Commune with him in your devotions. This is a constant battle for me. It's a desire, and often God helps me, but I have to work at, okay, I just read this text. Did I commune with God in this text? Did I commune with Jesus? Did I see Jesus in this text? Go back and look for Jesus in this text and enjoy him. Say, there you are. There you are. I see you in this text. And let his bigness be big. And then I'll look for echoes of it in other people around me.
Good word today. Good insight and a great way to start off the new year as we practice affirmation. Practicing Affirmation is the name of the book from Sam Crabtree. And Sam serves as executive minister at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis. A friend of the ministry here. We're glad to have him in the studio. Blessings to you, Sam. Thanks for coming by today.
Thanks.
877-93-FAITH is our phone number. You always leave a comment on the Faith line, or you can listen to the podcast online at myfaithradio.com.